I would just like to start today by giving thanks to God for the participation of our young people in worship. Carrie did such a great job in reading scripture this morning. Thank you for reading scripture for us. We are blessed to be led by the children of our church in worship. I invite you all to keep your pew Bibles out and turn to Psalm 121. After our prayer this morning, we're going to be talking through some of those verses, so please keep that Bible out. About a month ago, I was going through my mail to pay bills. That's something we all do. And I opened a payment due from our doctor's office. There were items listed in that bill for the examination and for the various tests that they gave, adding up to so many dollars in one column. And then there was the other column where there were the payments from the insurance, etc. And at the bottom of the form was a box in bold letters for people just like me that said, "You pay this." And there was nicely even an arrow pointed to the box to keep me oriented. And in the box was a digit, a point mark, and another two digits. And let me tell you what they were. 0.01. My balance due was a penny. Now, I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth. I rejoiced at that amount. Then, of course, I became troubled at the thought of paying such a bill. How do I pay a penny without spending more than a penny? A stamp? No. Even electronic bill pay requires electricity for the computer, and we know that's not free. I even considered not paying that bill at all, but of course I knew that if I didn't, what would they do? They would postmark another bill to me and probably charge me interest on the penny. And then "You pay this" would be in red. So I resolved to just stop by the office and pay the bill in person while I was running an errand to a store nearby that office. And boy, what fun it was to walk into that office and put that penny down in front of the clerk and just smile. I hope they frame that penny. My friends, in this day and age, in this world, with things being the way that they are, where do we turn to for help? Life is so often stranger than fiction, isn't it? Well, sometimes our troubles are minuscule. Too often our troubles are so much more costly than a penny. And when our troubles are big, we turn to prayer, don't we? But too often we wonder what to pray. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The Bible has an answer for us for that question in Psalm 121. Let's pray. Lord, you know what is on our hearts and what is on our minds. Yet we often struggle to find the words to share our needs with you through prayer. We worry. We worry too much about phrasing everything just right before you, for fear you're counting our every wrong and our balance will end up in the red. So help us now in this time to focus on your word, to be freed by your grace, to live generous lives for you and for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look at the words of Psalm 121, I invite you to imagine yourself on a journey on foot through the desert of Judah, on your way to Jerusalem. Put yourself back in that time. There are hard-packed sandy hills all around you. The air is so dry that you must take sips of water every few minutes to cover your thirst. You need to cover your head and wrap your face to protect yourself from the dust that's kicked up in the wind and the sun coming from the sky. And if all of that isn't challenging enough, your every step is placed on an incline up. Jerusalem is an elevated city. That's why they call this a Psalm of Ascent. These are words from and for pilgrims on a journey to that holy place. Can you recognize the images now as you look at the words of the psalm? Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Can you see those hills around Jerusalem? Verse 3, He will not let your foot be moved. Reminds you, the Lord directs your steps over those crevices and stones along the path. As you camp along the trail at night, afraid wild animals or thieves will attack you when you're most vulnerable, rest assured, verse 4, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's standing outside your tent and watching at night. And when you resume your journey in the morning, you need not fear the heat. Verse 6, The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Just as the wings of the seraphim provide shelter and shade in the temple, so the Lord provides shelter and shade for you under His wing of protection in the wilderness as you ascend. And when you read that last phrase in the Psalm, verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. You can imagine coming and going as a pilgrim to that holy city. The Lord is your keeper in every circumstance. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about our journey of faith and how God accompanies us on that journey, on this pilgrimage we call the Christian life. Today, in our first service, our first graders celebrated their milestone of memorizing the Lord's Prayer. One of my own children participated in that milestone last year, and I remember how we worked with her every night to memorize those words. And helping her memorize the Lord's Prayer caused me in that moment to reflect on what prayer meant to me. There's something about teaching a subject, right, that causes you to reflect on that content for yourself. To teach it, you've got to know it yourself. And I can honestly say, while prayer has meant and continues to mean many different things in my life, and has taken many different forms, the overwhelming majority of my prayers, truthfully said, have come down to one word. Help. Turns out that's biblical. In fact, I think the most honest moments I've had with God, when I've really been me and God's really been God, have been when I was in the greatest need and when I knew for a fact that the only way I would physically, spiritually, or emotionally survive was by God's help. Sometimes the troubles I made for myself, and sometimes there were troubles that were handed to me, but always the need to turn to God for help. I remember distinctly a moment years ago when I was a young driver growing up in Michigan. When I was traveling in northern Michigan, I attempted to pass a truck on a two-lane highway. And suddenly another semi appeared from a dip in the road. Have you ever had this experience? About 50 yards ahead of me, going at least 60 miles per hour. I tell you, I knew for a fact in that moment that I was dead. I remember distinctly screaming at the top of my voice, God! Help! And by God's grace and some very risky swerves, maneuvered by all the vehicles involved in that moment, I found somehow a narrow path between the two opposing trucks, right down the middle line of the highway, and then proceeded to pull over beside the road and shake. I can picture my hand shaking for about 10 minutes. And during that period, during those 10 minutes, my prayer turned from help, help, help to thank you, thank you, thank you. Each of us, I think, has had moments or periods in our lives when we survive only by God's help. Perhaps you've had periods when you've cared for someone else with great needs, a young child with an extended illness, or a parent who no longer recognizes you or knows your name. And you woke up every morning during that period without strength in reserve to do what you needed to do that day, but exhausted by your isolation from others. And all you could say was, "Help, Lord." And somehow you got out of bed to face that day with a strength that was not your own. I know many of you have had that experience. Or perhaps you recall moments in your family life when you were sure forgiveness would never be offered or received. But over the course of time, God provided you with just the right words, sometimes in just the nick of time. Your prayer, "Help, Lord, I've really messed this up," was answered when you decided to put aside your pride. Or perhaps that's the prayer that God is prompting you to say today, for that family rift to be healed. Turning to God, I am convinced, turning to God for help makes us ready to follow His Son, Jesus. Conditions our hearts to follow Him in this journey of faith called the Christian life. But when we do turn to God for help, I don't believe that He simply bails us out. Rather, I think He relishes in making full use of our talents and intelligence and imaginations to see us through that time. When we offer ourselves up, God somehow makes wondrous use of our talents in ways that we don't always expect. When what we have to offer is truly, truly offered up. One of the things I most love about Washington, D.C. are all the bright and imaginative and interesting people here from every walk of life. We are chock full of folks who have a plan for the world, aren't we? It's part of what makes this place a fun place to live in and to work in. But you know what? We're also the kind of folk, I hope this is a fair generalization, that likes to save face when we can. Do you know what I'm talking about? And thanks be to God, His grace extends to us all. As the Apostle Paul says, we all fall short of the glory of God, but we've also all been granted grace through Jesus and thereby been freed to proclaim the gospel without shame. Because what we proclaim is not our own success, but God's. We need not have a spotless record to give God the glory. In fact, that is precisely the point of the gospel. That's the good news. But perhaps you're like me, you want the folks around you who find themselves in trouble to take heart, not get down on themselves, feel loved and accepted by God. But deep down within, now I'm talking if you're really honest with yourself, you secretly hope that God will never let you stumble in such a way that it sets you back by any worldly measure of success. You rejoice in God's help and grace for others, but aren't really ready to receive it for yourself because you have an arrangement with God. You are not going to stumble. You are not going to fall. I tell you, my friends, if I am really honest with myself, I'm afraid that I live with that kind of pride every day. I am one of those who wants to save face with God and with the people around me. Sometimes we find ourselves in trouble because of something we've done, and sometimes trouble just comes our way. But either way, we need God to see us through. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I served as a chaplain intern in a psychiatric hospital. I'll tell you, that was one of the greatest chapters in my ministry and a time when I learned so many lessons in ministry and received so many blessings from the people that I worked with. During that time, I was taking a class on how to listen to people talk through their troubles through parrot listening. Have you ever heard of this? Perhaps you know the move. The patient says, "I'm really frustrated." And you reflect back their expression by saying something like, "I can tell that you're really frustrated today." I'll never forget the first time I tried that out with a psychiatric patient. About 20 minutes into my parroting conversation, reflecting his feelings back to him, he looked at me with exasperation in his eyes and said, "Doug, why are you repeating everything I'm saying?" But that moment taught me, thanks be to God, is that when caring for people in trouble, it's not enough to acknowledge feelings. In Christian ministry, folks want to know that you are with them and that you share their need for God's help. Not getting wrapped up in other people's problems. I'm not talking about codependence here. Rather, I'm talking about just being willing to acknowledge with others your own need for God. And not just a little need on some of the more difficult days, but your complete need every day, all the time, in every circumstance. Verse 1, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." When we proclaim our need for God, friends, we proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Whether it is a penny or a pound of trouble, remember where to turn. God loves us not because we're in trouble and not because we've fallen, but especially when we're in trouble and especially when we've fallen. God's greatest desire is to lift you up. How he lifts you up and the path he sets you to is completely up to God. Tell him the path you desire. But trust, he'll set you on the path that leads you closer to him. He cares about your ascent. He knows you are heading his way. He knows you want your life to have purpose and meaning, and he knows you want all your efforts to amount to something good. Remember, his word is true. He may just surprise you when you say the prayer that works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.